Beginning current daf, Masech Pesachim daf Mem Zayin. Begin Amud Aleph. Begin place the master. Begin words of the Gemara. Nechal le'achad aser yom. It's going to be eaten 11 days after that it was baked. Which Tosfos will explain that it's talking about in the situation where the witnesses came after the time of mincha, because we're describing what's the shortest amount of time that you have to wait for lechem upon, what's the longest time, and we said that if Rosh Hashanah is 2 days on Thursday and Friday, so you got to make it on Wednesday, so then it's going to be 11 days later for the following Shabbos. Tosfos explains, how's that possible? So Kogen Shabbo Eidim and Mincha Lamala B'yom Chamishi, where do we ever have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? It's on Aleph Tishrei. So if the witnesses came on Thursday after the time of the mincha later in the day, so what do you do? So the custom is that we treat that first day as holy as Rosh Hashanah, and also the following day, which is the real day, because that we really only mekadesh the second day, but we treat the first day as Rosh Hashanah, so that we shouldn't disgrace it for the following year, when the witnesses come before the time of Mincha, which at that time we will treat that day as Rosh Hashanah. But the primary day of Rosh Hashanah is actually the second day, and it's from that day that we consider Aleph Tishrei, not the first day of Rosh Hashanah, but the second day, and that's where we start counting as day one of Tishrei. And therefore it's going to be eaten on the 11th day, because it's not going to fall out on Yom Kippur, but only fall on Yom Kippur if you started counting from the first Rosh Hashanah. Now, but if witnesses come before Mincha, so what happened is, they came on Wednesday, before Mincha, so then Lamacha B'yem Vav, so the next day on Thursday, Chol Gamahu, so that's a regular weekday, because it's not Rosh Hashanah. Lefes Lechem Acher, so then, if this was on Thursday, so therefore the next day, Friday, is not the second day Rosh Hashanah, it's a regular day, and then on that Friday you can go ahead and bake the lechem upon them, and so then, but the lechem rishon, then the first bread that they baked on Wednesday, again, because they didn't know, again, because if the witnesses don't come until later in the day, you're going to have to treat Thursday and then Friday as both Rosh Hashanah. So then Yifta, so you redeem that bread, they in that time of Kachem, because as Tosfos explained, the oven of the Beis HaMikdash does not sanctify them, which would preclude it from being redeemed, because no, keeping the Ksavah, because the town holds, the in the Shabbos, the Yomtiv, the baking does not override Shabbos and Yomtiv, usually like we explained previously. And therefore, obviously, because if the oven sanctified it, then it would be invalidated, like any carbon that's left out overnight. And actually, if that would be the case, then you would have to bake on Yom Tov. Obviously, it doesn't sanctify it, and therefore, you could redeem it. And that's what you have to do if it turns out that the witnesses came before Mincha, and then Friday's a weekday, you end up making it on Friday, and not you're not going to use the one that we made on Wednesday. To next says the master begins with the Gemara V'yamrit. Now, if you can say Tzorcha Shabbos Nasbi Yom Tov, that the needs of Shabbos could be done on Yom Tov. So that's what Rabbi is asking Rav Chisda. So then why can't you bake the lechem upon them, which is for Shabbos need, to do that on Yom Tov? Tosfos explains, what is the logic of Rav Chisda? That, like we're asking him that Tzorcha Shabbos are Nasa B'Yom Tov. Says Tosfos, Tamei L'Ritza, wonder to the Ritz, my parch. What is Rabbi's question from the lechem upon them on Rav Chisda? But for Rav Chisda, le'poligala the Rabbi, Rav Chisda doesn't disagree with Rabbi, meaning in his primary halacha. Elo, meaning what is the machlekes? Shemat levashel b'yom tov l'shabbos. He permits cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. K'moshem b'yom tov levashel b'yom, like you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov itself. Why? Because the kedusha achas, it's considered one sanctity. The kedusha achas, like Rashi explains. Abekahai gav the ma'aser, but the case that he's bringing from the lechem upon him, afilu b'yom asur. What do you mean? Even on that day itself, meaning b'yom tov, that would be forbidden. Because k'diktani seivik abeshtei alechem, like learned by the seivik abeshtei alechem, where that cannot be made on Yom Tov itself, because it's not lechem, because it's for Hashem. U'b'holayim Rav Chisda sheyasu b'yom tov yesim rabba. So on this, Rav Chisda never said that you should be able to do it more on Yom Tov than rabba, because whatever Rav Chisda permitted was only a malach on Yom Tov for Shabbos, like you're able to do on Yom Tov, but here you can't do on Yom Tov itself. So what's the question? So rather, b'nei l'ri, it seemed to the read dachah prishlel, that actually this is what Rav Chisda was saying earlier. When he said you could do the things that you need for Shabbos on Yom Tov, not like Rashi said, because it's one sanctity. Rather, what he means to say is, since this is a Shabbos need, if you're not going to do it on Yom Tov, you're not going to be able to do it anymore on Shabbos. So that's considered like Oichal Nefesh on Yom Tov. So based on this, Rav Chisda held that this that you're allowed to do doesn't necessarily mean you're Oichal Nefesh. You're right, it's not something you're going to use on Yom Tov. But whatever is considered a Tzarech Mitzvah, you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov too. Ah, b'hashda park Shabbat. Now we understand what Rabbi's question is on Rav Chizda. Bishlam the D says, Rabbi, according to me, it makes sense to leishar be Yom Tov l'simchas Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do on Yom Tov something that's for simchas Yom Tov el b'kai gavna, only in a situation sheikar mishum simchas Yom Tov. That primarily it's going to be a simchas Yom Tov of vaychol nefesh. V'achal like a simchas Yom Tov. But over here, by the lechem abundant, there's no simchas Yom Tov. V'kav shtei lechem nami in the kar l'simchas Yom Tov. Ultimately, shtei lechem is not primarily for the simchas Yom Tov el kar mishum zevach. It's primarily, although they do eat it, but primarily for the carbon of it, and therefore you can't do it on Yom Tov. Elidach, but according to you, Damit, that you say Tzerich Shabbos Nazim Yom Tov, you can do Shabbos Nitz on Yom Tov. And as we explain in Taisis, V'chol Dav Mishum Mitzvah Tzerich Lazim Yom Tov. And anything that's a mitzvah purpose and you have to do it on Yom Tov. Shin Liz Manacha, that it doesn't have any other time. So Hachamay L'Doch Yom Tov. That was his question. Why over here is it not Doich Yom Tov? And says Taisis, V'chein Yolik Aman, Kabbat Shtei Alechem. So too is the same point that the Gemara has from the Shtei Alechem, the same idea. Now, says Taisis, V'rashi Pir Kabbat Shtei Alechem. Rashi explains by Rabbi's question, by Rav Mori's question, Rav Chizda, from the Shtei HaLechem, the Rabbi also Shabbat. According to Rabbi, it's going to make sense. Because if you don't have Hoyel, that's the whole Svara, so then, yeah, you can't go ahead and go ahead and bake it on Yom Tov. Because Tulei Shaykh Hoyel, it doesn't apply Hoyel. Mishum Nahi Shay Tulei Chazu, because at that exact moment, it's actually not fit for eating. Until you actually slaughter the carbon and you throw the blood, and therefore it's not like baking it for any purpose of Eichel Nefesh, so you don't have any Hayah. It says Tzayz V'kash L'ri L'Purusha. The Rif finds Rashi's interpretation difficult because given that Gemara Niyadas Chilik Ben Gevay Lehed, since the Gemara doesn't know any difference regarding if it's at this point if it's done for Hashem or if it's done for a regular person. So V'chi B'Shvil Shaloi Yayach Shabro. So since right this moment it's not fit. But even though it's going to be fit, obviously later on the day, that should make it problematic. Why? What do you mean? Even when you're baking a dough for the guests, it's not fit to be eaten when it's raw dough until it's baked. And so when you're allowed to slaughter the karbonis of the chagiga on Yom Tov, although it's forbidden until the blood of the karbon is thrown. And b'shachar b'em dinami, when even a regular person slaughters his own animal, a chulun animal on Yom Tov, b'shachit in the ruya, as he's slaughtering, it's not permitted yet. And rather, since later on the day you're going to be able to eat it, this is not a problem. So I mean, the question is going to be difficult on Rabbah also. Why don't you say a principle of Hoyel, even though right now it's not, but later on the day, as you always have to say, that Hoyel is contingent on that too. Me, Yishlam of the Persian Kurds, but says, what you could say for Rashi is the Shtei HaLechem is different. Because Ein Lam Shum Chasarim Begufay. By the Shtei HaLechem, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the Shtei HaLechem. And even so, it's not fit to eat even after you bake it, until you go and throw the blood of the kibbutz that says. So therefore, according to Rabbah, you're not going to go ahead and say that it's going to be permitted because of Eichel Nefesh. In contrast, when you're baking or cooking something, even though it's not, it's a problem with the thing itself. So when it's ready, so then it's therefore, the difference is that there you say, okay, that's a part of the process. And it's not like as if it's not royal achil, but here it is ready. So obviously, that's not something that we're going to consider as that of hoyel. Ketinek says the master begins words the Gemara, but Pshimig Mlil, the Amma that he says, Deich Yomtiv, that it does override Yomtiv, which just explains what is Rabbi's question of Chizda from Pshimig Mlil. Because the Gemara had said, oh, okay, you answered me and you told me that Shvus Kareva you permitted, not Shvus Rechaika. So what do you do with Pshimig Mlil? He says that actually it does override Yom Tov. But Bava Tzitzis says that, what I mean, according to everyone, you have to say that there's Machleket Shemim Blil on Tanei Kamo if you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov at Tzerech Shabbos. So why is it more difficult on Chazan Rabba? It's obviously the Machleket Tanoim. So that's what Tzitzis says. No, Bishlam, the deal with Rabba was saying to Rav Chizda is, according to me, it makes sense that I mean, because I'm going to say this field, Tanei Kamo holds the Tzerech Shabbos in Nasim Yom Tov. You cannot do Shabbos things on Yom Tov, and therefore you can't bake the Lechem upon them on Yom Tov. So you could say the Baha'u Pligi, this is what they're disagreeing about. V'lo'ari elo b'dayraisa. And that, yeah, they're disagreeing if Tzerech Shabbos are done on Yom Tov. But they're only talking about by biblical law before any Takanas Chacham, or according to Tanei Kamo, you can't do it on Yom Tov. And from Lil, you could. But according to you that you hold that Tzerech Shabbos can be done on Yom Tov, so therefore, if there's a Machlik Shabbos and Rabban, there comes a Shabbos and Lil is like you, and Tanei Kamo is not like you, so if a Kosh Lachman Tanei Kamo, so then Tanei Kamo is difficult on you, because Allah is like Tanei Kamo, and therefore you see, not like you. Or you know, another approach is Omri Rajba, the Rajba says, they claim what you could say is that according to Rabbah, both opinions, all opinions would hold that actually Tzerech Shabbos cannot be done in Yom Tov like Rabbah. because the plagi, so what's their machlekes, is the mar savar Reb Shmuel held them in ha'il b'yachal of daisa. We say, oh, since he could go ahead and redeem it, and he could bake it on yamtiv, so it's considered tzach yamtiv. But mar savar tanakam held that, no, lo yamrin in ha'il, we don't say ha'il, why not? Doesn't Rabbi say the principle of ha'il? Yeah, because the leshchech, because as we've said this concept a different time, it's not common to redeem the lechem upon him, therefore that wouldn't qualify for the concept of ha'il, kabishalah, like we previously explained. And daf memvav based on maskal ha'il. But Al-Dach, what he's asking, Rav Chizkiya is according to you, that you say the time of Tanakama. The reason Tanakama is the reason why it's forbidden Mishum Shavus or Chayka, because as it's you're doing a Israel Abundant for a distant hat related for a Shabbos, but in 10 days from now, Bahal lift like a Rav Shimon Leil on this, Rav Shimon Leil is going to disagree. But it's not logical to differentiate, even by a Shavus or Chayka, that it should be permitted to do on Yom Tov, because logic would say that they didn't permit it for. The next Shabbos to do it on Yom Tov, and that was what Rabbi's question was on Rav Chizkiya. Kinnik says, Master begins with Zigmar Lachem, Lele Gevay. It says in the Pasuk, you could do Lachem, Hu Levadios Lachem, but Lele Gevay, not for that of Hektish. And therefore, that's why it's not difficult in Rav Chizkiya, Nershteh Alechem, because although you could do Tzerchei Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it has to be something that's Eichon Nefesh, and for a carbon, which what the Shteh Alechem is, cannot be done. Now, Perish Tosfos explains. He says what it means is af v'loy gvoy. It means to say that he holds that also what we're excluding is that also cannot be for Hashem. But for Darshina Namir v'loy v'nachim. But for sure we're saying that it's for sure going to exclude that of a non-Jew. Could most bebeil? It's obviously the ground bebeil of chavim base. The man the sabin the don dabei zengreb miyam. The one who holds that you cannot bring a donated or a vowed carbon on Yom Tov. Darsh Namir l'chem v'loy v'nachim. He also expounds. Not only cannot bring a carbon, which is Likvaya, you also cannot bring that of a non-Jew. But it already says that it says that you could only bring it for you and not for Hektish. And according to Beis Hillel, they expound, no, lechem aloy lanachem. And even so, they agree that Nedarim and Davis are created by Yom Tov, but you exclude them from the Nachem, from lechem. So in other words, everyone agrees lechem is aloy lanachem. Question is if it also includes v'loy legvay. Next says the Master begins with the Gemara, Umukdashi. And it's also sanctified, which was this case. So we had in the Mishnah Mesechtas Makos that you could plow one furrow and be liable for 8 sets of lashes, for 8 different laven. And one of them was that, because the ox and the donkey that you're plowing with are hektish animals, which Tosfos explains, what exactly are the 8 laven here in this Mishnah? So Pitcher Gondrashi explains, on this Divrei Maschil, the Mukdash Nikatarati, 2 of the 8 are these 2 animals are sanctified. So regarding the ox, you're violating that you now do work with your ox, the first one animal. And Machamar with the donkey, it's obviously no carbon, there's no actual physical sanctity with a donkey, but it's that which is owned by Hektish. So you're liable for using that of Hektish for misappropriation. Says Teresa Bechin Dachak, but for nothing did Rashi try to push and explain that these are 2 of the 8. Because the B'shoi Kufa Mechai Mishum Mila, what do you mean? You don't have to say that the donkey was the Mila one. The ox itself, there's a liability of misappropriation. If it's an Oyla Achatas. So you don't have to say that it's the Chamor that's another one, when you could have in the Shar itself. Now, but actually, because the refine is difficult. Because the Perek Basu, the Makas Amma, the Gemara in Makas Al-Rav Bezim and Aleph says, in the last Perek, Mi Didi Yisa B'shoi Likutani. Something that was said regarding that you could undo, like an oath, which you could be shailing, you could ask the sage and he'll undo it, that we didn't count to make the numbers higher of the amount of laven you could have. Uparach, the gemas, I've already hektish. Hektish is something you could be shailing, you could undo it, and you still count as 1 of the 8. Mashiach, we say, no, but b'chor, we're talking about the first one animal. That's sanctified not by your oath, it's sanctified by birth. Uparach, the gemas, I, 1 of the 8 is very nazir, but he's a nazir, and you could be shailing in the ziris. That's the gemas question. Says the Reeve, now Mechamar Havali Lakshu the Pesha Kondra. According to Rashi, the Gemara could have asked from the case of the donkey, Kivinda Ayri Bechamar Hektish, since he's telling me that it's a donkey that's holy, obviously it was only holy because you went and you were Makdish it, which you could be Shayla on that. So why didn't the Gemara ask from that 1 of the 8? It answered from the one of that it said B'Bukhar, but that's only by that of the ox and not the one of the donkey. Moreover, Oid Kashla Perusha, what's also difficult, according to Rashi's interpretation, is Lechshem Nami Klai Zeran. We should have said also that it's also Klaim of different grains. And look, we should have explained the Kagan Shazar Habimin Mekarim. Not only is it in the vineyard, which you have the climb of a Klai Zeroyim, a Klai Karim, but there's also other seeds that are planted in forbidden mixture. Chagav, the program is Makkas, because that's the Gemara asked in Makkas of Chaval Menav, Lakshav Kamalabi, that you should mention many Lavin. So you could have added on more according to Rashi, which we'll see, but according to Tais' interpretation, he addresses this question, and no, that cannot have been counted. So rather than earlier, it seems to the read, the lechashav lav demila. No, actually, not like Rash. One of the eight is not like Rash said in the Chamor, that it's because of misappropriation of hektish. The lechashav elhanach lavi delaka alayu acharisha kosher. No, we're only counting the negative prohibitions that you can lash on them just for the plowing itself. Aval lav demila, but for the negative prohibition for misappropriating, lelaki acheyachash b'shavah pruta. There, actually, you don't get lashed until you actually plow, not just for any plowing, it has to be plowing that you have a pruta's worth. And that's the halacha for me'ila. So that wouldn't be just any plowing. And we're saying that it's lash you get for any type of a plowing. So therefore me'ila is not included. And b'klai ha'kerim, regarding the forbidden mixture in the vineyard, the farish reader re-explains, the chashav trei lavi, that's where the two lavin are. And that's where you see why the question is not difficult, because that actually is the other one. Mishum klai zroim, mishum klai kerim. To make up for the one me'ila, Rashi had from the eight, Tais actually says, that is actually one of the other ones. There's not just a forbidden mixture in the vineyard, there's other forbidden mixture of seeds. It also sounds like the reason interpretation. It doesn't say that it was forbidden mixture of a vineyard. It'll climb big kerem, forbidden mixtures in a vineyard, which sounds like besides the klai hakerem, there were other forbidden mixtures that are zoy. Now Tais just clarifies. He says vadam rebuyisha. This rebuyisha says elsewhere in a chayiv, you're not liable for klai hakerem. Until you plant a wheat seed and a barley seed and a grape seed in one handful, la mishum de lesli klai zroim. It's not because he doesn't hold of the halacha of that zroim themselves are klaim. Ela inachai mishum klai kerem kama. He's just telling you not to be liable for klai kerem until you have also with it the chita and desire. But even when I planted the grape seed, yeah, you do violate klai zroim, and then therefore in this case you're going to be violating two types of klai kerem and klai zroim. And achim mashem b'sham. So this sounds like when b'sham they come up with b'sham. It says al tayt rebeishi in rebeishi's opinion. Where Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Satcha Leisidja Klaim, your field you shouldn't plant Klaim. Leisidav and Nemer, for what thing is it saying Leisidja Karmachal Klaim that you should not plant your vineyard Klaim? Pirish. What the question is like this. Since without the grapes, you have anyways for the first Pasuk of your field of planting forbidden grains, so what are you adding on with the vineyard? Mishani and the Yerushalmi answers him, is by Mishim Satcha Leika. To tell you that if you want because of the love of Satcha, then he's going to get lashes. And then for the additional fact that it's in the vineyard, he's going to get another set of lashes, which again is these two types of klaim. The comment also sounds like this from the Gemara in Chum Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, klaim, like if someone plants forbidden mixtures, you get lashes. And the Gemara says, klaim, lumbly. What do you mean, klaim? Why are you saying it two times? The more concludes, it's coming to tell us something parenthetical, that there's two types of klaim, which again is the same idea we keep on, so he keeps on proving, which is that of klai akarim and klai zroim, which is lafukim rebeishu, tekukim rebeishu, the amad that he says, that she is zachita v'chulum, that it's only up until you plant wheat, etc., and barley, and the grape seed together. Kamashman, this will come to tell you that if you plant wheat and the grape seed and barley and the grape seed, that namichayev, that yosik michayev on every planting because of klaim, which is to tell you, not like him, that you need to have all three together. Now, the fact that it didn't say wheat and barley, elachid v'chartzin, they just came to tell you what's not grebeishia, the wheat and the grape seed. But he would agree that if you had wheat and the barley together without the grape seed, that you would get the lashes because of klai zroim. It's only coming to say that when he says climb, the two types of climb, means to say when you do the wheat and the barley and the grape seed, there's the wheat and the grape seed and there's the barley and the grape seed, and those are two separate because there are those who hold that that's enough for klai karam. But regarding klai zroim, Rabbi Yishe would agree that the chid and sa'ir themselves would be a violation of klai zroim. But then Tais says, "Vodam in Perek Basim B'Chayz." This is the last Perek B'Chayz of Nanda Alamadav. The Tish V'Yitzer in terms of Zem that you can't take truma from two different species, and wine and oil are two different types. You can't take truma from one on the other. How do we know this? Min Dechsev in the second says in the pasuk, "Kachel B'Yitzer B'Cholchei B'Tish V'Dagan." That all the choices of your oil and of your the choices of your grain and of your wine, which it says the word Chelav more than once, to tell you, Tinchel b'lezeh b'chilezeh, each one has to have its own truma separate. Ashkechan tirsh v'yitzah, so you find that regarding wine and oil, and tirsh v'dagan, and we have, but the Gemara's question is, so the oil is set separate for the other two, but tirsh v'dagan, but wine and grain, v'dagan, and grain, and then how do you know that they also have to be, if they're separate species, separately separated, where they're all in one word chilev? So Amrit says, the Gemara v'dagan, kal v'chaymer v'chulu, that we know from a kal v'chaymer. Because tish v'yitzah, which not even climb one or the other, you can't take mice one on the other. So tish and dagan, the dagan and the dagan, which could be climb one on the other, for sure you're not take mice one on the other. Now, according to Beishia, the Gemara brings it differently. That how do we know that you can't take mice one on the other from a kabochaimer, which is mat tish v'yitzah, just like oil and wine. She'enim climb zem zed, it's not climb one on the other, we continue them at base. Afil I did the bacher, even with something else. And still, imas mezelzi, you can take ma'is one on the other. So tish v'dagan, so wine and grain, and dagan, and one type of grain, another type of grain. Shein klima de davach b'chulu, which they are climbed through something else. Oh, all the more so for sure that we're going to say that you can't take truma one on the other. So this explains that this they were saying that the wine and the grain are climbed like de davach the kama through something else that it's saying like kai dagan. That's not going on the case of grain and grain. K'devalava davach, as Tais is explaining, and this is what he's coming to answer. As he already established, everyone agrees that even without something else, meaning even without, let's say, the grapes, just the wheat and the barley itself, you will violate for Klai Azraim. Rather, it's going on the case of Klai Akarim, of the wine and the grain, where there it's with something else, again, because, yeah, according to Bisha, you have to have three types, but that's for the Klai Akarim. But for Klai Azraim, he agrees, even with the two types of the wheat and barley itself. Now, Tzai says, the reason of Bisha, the Klai Akarim Limechayiv, that the forbidden mixture of a vineyard, that you're not liable, el b'shleish min, that you have to have three types, which is the wheat, the barley, and the grape seed. And the b'klai zram b'chai b'beiz min, yet, but by the forbidden mixture of seeds, you're liable just for two types, that of the wheat and the barley. So Mefarash Reed re-explains, because the zri is klai mashma b'beiz min zram. When we talk about a forbidden mixture of seeds, it sounds like two different types of seeds. V'chartzen lav min zrihu, and the grape seed is not a type of a seed. So therefore, since it types is rhyme, so that doesn't include necessarily that of the grape seed. And that's why there it's enough for two. Aval ein lafarash mashem demashma, but don't explain because it sounds like leitizr b'hadi karmachol klaim, don't plant with together within your vineyard a forbidden mixture. Aval satcha, but by your field, b'loishem zerakari sadeh, without any seed, it's considered your field. In other words, Tais wants to say that maybe you'll entertain to say, when it says leisizer kamach klaim, which is saying besides the grapes in the vineyard, that you shouldn't plant kalayim, which is means to say another mixture of two different types of grains. But when it talks about the forbidden mixture of zrayim, where it says leisizer satch klaim, so it's not obvious that you already had planted anything else in that field except for that which you're coming to plant now. So b'loishem zerakar is other, without any seed, it's called your field, and therefore it's only what you're planting now, which are two types of seeds. Unless it says no, you can't say that because the Holy Shaykh Lafarsh can't get behemtocha, because then you wouldn't be able to say the same thing regarding when it says your animal loisar be a climb and not let a mate forbidden mixture, that most definitely you can't make the dik of karma chalisizer climb. Rather, must be like we said, because because of climb zroim is only with zroim, and that doesn't include the grape seed. Benente says, well, the Pirush Ri, according to the reason interpretation, that actually the Tana, not like Rashi, that one of the eight is not that of a Me'ila, rather it's two different types of prohibitions of claim, so kasha is difficult. Then why do you pick an ox and a donkey? With just the ox itself, you could have had a violation of claim, meaning of the animal claim, which is how? By an ox that was a carbon that became invalidated. Kadam perik basim the market like the Gemara says in the last perik market daf chav beizim and avdam ribitzchaki says hamanik b'shoyb psulei mekdashim. Someone leads an ox itself that was a carbon that became invalidated, like he gets lashes. Why mishum dasa hakasim beiz gufim? Because the pasuk really considers that one animal like it's two different bodies. Because the iskish letzvi of eyelids compared to a deer and a ram and it's so it's like it's two different entities. It's on the one hand it's kodesh, on the one hand it's something else. So that itself is two animals, and that should be a forbidden mixture of plowing with a forbidden mixture. But the Pesach Kunches Nechuk and Rashi makes sense because the Lekab Tzul Mekdashim loved Meila. Even if you would have that of Klaim, you wouldn't have the other idea that we said of Meila, which you only have in that where he says in the Chamor. But the Pesach Yeshlim, but since this is for the Re, what you could say is Meshum Deik of Klaim, Meshum Bechamor, since the primary law of Klaim of animals are learnt out in the Pasuk from an ox and a donkey. So not Meshum Bechamor, so pick the ox and the donkey, but you're right, really, we wouldn't have to say it. You could have said it, but Meshum Bechamor Mekdashim. And because you don't need that of Me'ilah according to the Re, but we just picked that up because that's just the classic biblical case.